Thank you for being here. If you will, take your Bibles and open up, if you will, to Luke chapter 10. In a little bit, we're going to be reading some verses there. The question I have for everyone here this morning is, are you a disciple of Jesus? And I would probably venture to say that everybody's shaking their head yes, and that's good. You know, many don't obey the gospel because they have the understanding or the thought it's too hard. I would not be able to live a disciple's life. For some, the idea of becoming a disciple of Jesus seems almost like it's out of reach because of the mentality that they have of not measuring up to what they conceive that a disciple should be. Again, this is often probably due to a problem that many have in defining the term disciple. See, some see this term as identifying one who has his act together, who has all of his ducks in a row. You know, mine's more like chickens running around trying to herd them. You know, that's impossible. Some, again, see the term as identifying one who has his act together, who rarely struggles with sin. Many times that's how people see a disciple. You know, there have been those who have said to me, well, you know, there's things in my life that I need to change first. There's things that I need to get right first. The problem is, almost always, they never get those things right. So they never obey the gospel because they're afraid that once they do that, they're going to fail. You know, I have, over the years, met a lot of Christians who have failed sometime in their life. But you know what? Do you truly understand what the word disciple that we read about in our Bibles, do we truly understand what a disciple is? And I think if we come to an understanding of the real meaning of disciple, it would make it easier for us. How many of you truly know what the word disciple means? It literally means a learner. In other words, apprentice. If you wanted to be, let's say, an electrician, you wanted to be a licensed journeyman electrician, you have to become an apprentice, a learner, in order to obtain the goal of being a journeyman electrician or a journeyman pipe fitter or a journeyman plumber. You don't all of a sudden become a journeyman overnight, you know, by somebody saying, okay, now you're at the top of the rung without any learning, without any understanding of what it means to be one of those professions. So this morning, I want us to talk a little bit about discipleship. How does one become a disciple or an apprentice of Jesus? Well, Brother Mike just read it a few moments ago, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Jesus says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." If you're teaching, that means somebody is learning. You know, Jesus had his disciples that he was going to send out and teach all nations. And it's maybe hard for us to understand, but because of who the disciples were and the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, they learned with Jesus for 3 years. But even then, they did not truly understand everything. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Again, here's that word, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. You know, when you start out going to school, you know, back when I started school, yeah, you could attend kindergarten if you really wanted to, but most kids just went straight to first grade. Actually, I think I got kicked out of kindergarten. I didn't know everything when I got into first grade. I could not write my name, okay? It took time. We had to learn. We were apprentices to the teacher. And the same thing is true here. When the disciples went out, when the apostles went out to all nations to teach, they brought in apprentices, disciples, learners, who had to learn over a period of time, and some an entire lifetime. You know, there's many here I know who study their Bibles every day, and everyone should be doing that. But they're still learning. We learn something every time we sit and we study God's Word. If we don't, then maybe we're not studying correctly. But notice again, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, amen, or the end of the age. Brothers and sisters, that should give us comfort, knowing that Jesus is going to be with us from day one of obeying the gospel until the day we stand before him on judgment day. Teaching literally is to instruct. Many people will study the life of Jesus, but they do so from afar. So we really can't consider them as being disciples because they've not really become disciples. They're just, well, you know, I know a little bit. A disciple is one who has been baptized and taught to observe. And that word there, observe, literally means to keep. Teaching them to keep all things whosoever or whatsoever I have commanded you. To keep. That's how we learn. You know, people will observe a lot of things, but yet they've not learned anything. When we learn, it is to keep. It is to grow. It is to advance. We go from apprentice to journeyman. And it takes a course of a lifetime. I don't believe there's anybody here that can raise their hand and say, I've made it. I've gone as far as I can go in my faith, in my belief, and in my study of God's Word. Am I right? The challenges of discipleship or apprenticeship, these are the things that we face. These are the things that as an apprentice, as a disciple, we face every day. Being an understudy, and you all know what that word means, I hope. All right? Being an understudy to Jesus is rather challenging because Jesus led a sinless, perfect life. We can't do that. Well, let me rephrase that. I can't do that. Jesus is demanding. Okay? Notice Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 through 39. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. That's demanding, isn't it? He goes on, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Again, that's demanding. Demanding that we have to love Jesus. We have to love God more than our mothers and fathers, our sons and daughters. And he goes on, and he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Now, how many people do you know that is going to do things that's going to cause them problems? Most of us don't want problems. We don't want issues in our life. So we avoid certain things. But yet Jesus says here that we must take up our cross, take up all of the problems that we're going to face as a Christian, because they're going to come. The apostles were persecuted. The Christians were persecuted. You know, we're not so much physically persecuted in this country, but you know what? There's a lot of people who will verbally persecute us. We need to take that cross, all right, and follow after Jesus, not after our own desires. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Look at Mark chapter 8, verses 34 and 35. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Jesus is demanding. He's demanding that we take up our cross. He's demanding that we put him first in every aspect of our lives. Not just here on Sunday morning. You know, it saddens me when we have worship service schedule, you know, 9:30 Bible class, 10:30 worship, Sunday afternoon at 4:30, except on the second Sunday, we have it at 1:30, a devotional. Wednesday night at 6 p.m. But what happens? Well, I had company come over, and you know, I just couldn't leave them. Is that putting Christ first? Think about it. When we give the excuse, well, we didn't come to worship because, You know, I had company come in, and I just didn't think it'd be right to leave them. Well, bring them with you. Jesus does all things well. Do we? Mark chapter 7, verse 37, and were beyond measure astonished, amazed, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us. That's why we put him first in our lives. That's why he's above mothers and fathers and sons and daughters and wives and husbands and aunts and uncles and on down the line. Because he was made sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus didn't deserve death on the cross. He didn't deserve it. But he became sin for us and died on that cross, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Did you notice what it said? It said that we might be made righteousness of God in him, not within ourselves, but in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22, again, who did no sin, speaking of Jesus Christ, neither was guile found in his mouth. Glory, hallelujah, what a Savior. Someone that was willing to die in our stead. Now I would like for you to consider some of the challenges that we face as we attempt to become skilled and proficient as Christians, as we are growing, as we are learning. But there's things that we need to consider. And I believe the first thing we need to consider is our tongue. We spoke a little bit about that in our class. How James tells us that the tongue is like a small rudder on a large ship. That wherever that rudder is turned, that's the direction the ship goes. Or the bridle in the mouth of a horse can turn that 1,200, 1,500 pound animal in the direction that you want to go. Notice James 1, verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, oh, I love Jesus, but in the next breath, you're cursing. You all see that on social media all the time. And bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. Brothers and sisters, if we cannot bridle our tongue, that means keep our tongues in check. And you know what runs that little muscle that we have that causes so much problems? It's our brain. Isn't it? If it wasn't for our brain, our tongue would be useless. Our tongue wields great power. It wields power to heal or to condemn and to betray. Again, James chapter 3 and verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, in other words, if you keep your tongue in check, the same as a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. In other words, what James is telling us here is that our tongue is perhaps the strongest muscle we have in our bodies. Because if we can control our tongue, we have control of our whole body. I think it's fascinating to really come to understand that our tongue has such great power. And then we read in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." Well, what Paul is saying here is keeping your tongue in check. What about the next one? Our attitudes. You know, these are things that make it a challenge for disciples. It makes it a challenge for people to become disciples. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 6 and 7. "Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." You know, what this is talking about is what the King James calls charity, love. That should be our attitude. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Should we not have the attitude of love and concern and compassion for those who are lost? What about our benevolence? You know, a lot of people simply don't become Christians because they think they would have to give up all of their wealth. You remember the young rich man that come to Jesus and, "What one thing do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus told him, "Well, I've done all those things my entire life. What else can I do to have eternal life?" What did Jesus tell him? "Go and sell all, everything, and give to the poor, and come and follow me." The young man went away sorrowful because he had great wealth. Many people believe that if they become a Christian, if they become a disciple, a learner, that they have to give up all of their stuff. And you know what? Some of us need to get rid of some of our stuff. I'm one of them. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. You all know these verses. Starting in verse 29. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 29. "But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, Who is my neighbor? Who is the one that I need to look after? Who's the one that I need to care for? Who's the one that I need to put myself out there for? Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead." Well, then we have by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He didn't even want to look. All right? "And likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him." At least the Levite went and looked and passed by on the other side. "But a certain Samaritan, who the Jews hated, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Now, notice the answer, because this was the only answer that he could give. And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Benevolence. Being a disciple means that we have to be benevolent. We have to be willing to give. We have to be willing to put others first. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were possessed or oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We need to be going about and doing good, don't we? So where does the church come in? We see, you know, how one becomes a disciple by obeying the gospel, being taught, instructed. Some of the challenges that we faced, our tongues, our attitudes, and our benevolence. But what about the church? Where does it come in? Think about this. Is not the church, that's us, not this building, is not the church our workshop? It's where we work and learn alongside other disciples who may be more skilled than we are. We go to brothers and sisters for advice. We go to brothers and sisters to seek understanding. When there's something that we don't know or fully understand in God's Word, we have the ability to go to a brother or sister who's more skilled, more learned than we are to get an answer. That's how we grow. That's how we grow. It's where we can help others who are less proficient than ourselves to do better, to model their lives after Jesus. The church is a collection of apprentices, disciples, learners who have committed themselves to the vocation of following Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, last verse. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech. He's saying, I beg you. I'm begging you. I'm imploring you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. That word there, worthy, is calling. That we are to walk worthy of our calling. Worthy. That word there actually has the idea appropriately. Walk appropriately of our calling. When we finally surrender fully to Jesus, then sinners will become saints. Self-centeredness gives way to compassion. And apprentices become skilled practitioners in God's kingdom, to where we can teach and help those who may have questions. The world's asking questions. Are we listening? Why was I made? Is this all that I can be? What is out there that is going to make my life better? We should be willing to stand up and say, oh, by the way, let me tell you about Jesus. Are you a disciple? Are you a learner? If not, then this morning you have that opportunity to become one by obeying the gospel, by being baptized and having your sins washed away. If you wish to do that this morning, would you come? Perhaps you're already a child of God. Perhaps you're already a disciple, a learner, but you stumbled. Or you simply would like the prayers of the saints. Would you come also as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom be.